Blog Talk Radio.
Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Well, good morning, warriors. God bless you today. Thanking God once again for allowing us to gather here at To Be Restored. My goodness, it seems like it's been forever. It has. It's been about 60 days because last month we had some difficulty getting connected, but we're here and we're thanking God. Still on the wall. I pray that you are strengthened this morning. Listen, get up, shake off those bed clothes and give your God some praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're rejoicing and I tell you, I'm going to be glad. I don't care what comes, what goes, we can rejoice and be glad in it because we know the Redeemer, because Jesus Christ is alive and he lives in you, he lives in me. Thanking God for this day and for what God has given to us here at To Be Restored Ministries. If you are joining us and tuning in for the very first time, we welcome you. Welcome to To Be Restored. We are a compassionate prayer intercessory spiritual warfare ministry that is committed to saturating the earth with prayer. We are an extension of our church, Total Restoration Church of the Nazarene. We haven't been Christian Center in almost, 4 years now, but we are Total Restoration Church of the Nazarene. where none other is our pastor, Pastor Kenneth L. Carr Sr., thanking God for him and leading us in our Command Your Day prayers every day. He leads us every Monday through Friday, of course, on regular days throughout the week. He leads us in our Command Your Day prayer, and that is a powerful time where he gives one word, and we focus on that word, and then he prays for us and leads us into commanding our day, shifting the atmosphere for the day, and whatever plans that the enemy had for you, I tell you, when you join Command Your Day, those plans are brought to nothing. They are demolished. They are eradicated by the word of God that he shares. So thank you, Pastor Carr, for standing in with us every morning faithfully. And here we are this last Friday of August, thanking God for another month, this 30th day of the year 2019, of the eighth month of 2019. And I tell you, this month flew by. I don't know about it for you, but it seems like we just started it, and here we are about to go into a new month. But we like joining you here at the end of the month to get yourself kind of settled from the month, and then also getting ready to start a new month. And so we're thankful that God has given us assignment to serve you in the mornings and serve you with prayer, with words of encouragement, words of empowerment, and also words that will give you something to chew on and also share with others. So we're here today. We have so much to share. I'm excited about what's happening for Total Restoration. If you haven't heard, Total Restoration is getting ready for a Just Pray time. Just Pray is our prayer revivals that we've held in different areas. We've been to Georgia with Just Pray, of course, Illinois, where our church is based right now, and Maryland. We've already had one in 2018, on 8/8/2018. For those of you that were there, you know how powerful that Just Pray experience can be. And I tell you, we're setting ourselves up to go to Virginia, Dumfries, Virginia. So if you're in the DMV area, the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area, we want you to prepare by setting on your calendar Saturday, September 28th at high noon. Saturday, September 28th, we will be in Dumfries, Virginia, New Life Family Christian Center. None other than our dear God knows that he's our friend. He and his wife have gone down through the years with us, raising our children and just loving on each other. Pastor James and Lady Bernadette Fumbanks, they are the pastors and shepherds of New Life Family Christian Center in Dumfries, Virginia. That's where we will be hosting along with them for Just Pray. It's time that we as a people of God focus on prayer and focus and make prayer be a priority. Prayer has to be a priority because it's enough complaining, enough gossiping, enough talking about what's happening and no action being put in place. And that's the action that we have as believers. The way we fight our battle is through prayer. So join us again that Saturday, September 28th, high noon. We have some people coming from Illinois. Glory to God. Guess what, Maryland? They're coming to you this time. You don't have to pack up and go very far. But even if you're in Maryland, Virginia, or in the surrounding areas, we want you to prepare to be there. No matter how far you have to drive, come and look for, have an expectation for a move of God. Expect miracles to happen. I'm expecting miracles to happen. So we're going to be preparing also for that with time of consecration and fasting, which will begin Sunday, September 8th. September 8th, yes. And so there's so much information that we have to share with you regarding that time of consecration and prayer. So if you do not have, as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're on, if you're tuned in, you're going to need a piece of paper. As a matter of fact, you're going to need a notebook today because, oh, my goodness, I got so much to give you, so much word to give you today. So get a notebook and a pen because I want to give out the number, information number that you can call in the event that you have questions. And also, if you are a texter, we'll give you the number that you can text and also ask questions. okay? So we want you to be aware of what's happening. We want you to be in tune and in sync with us as we are fasting and praying. And if you want to join us in that time of consecration, please take down these numbers. Our information number that you can call, okay, two different numbers. One you can call. The first one I'm going to give is our office number, and you can call and ask questions, you know, and leave a message, of course, if you don't get someone in the office. But please let us know if you have questions. Don't try to figure it out. You don't have to. We've already done that for you. That number you can call for our church office is area code 815-573-5517. Okay? I'll give the number again at the end, 815-573-5517. That's the office number. Pastor talks about how fast I say the numbers, but you have to be quick. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. And also remember, this is being recorded, so you can always go back and hear this recording at blogtalkradio.com/be restored, or simply visit our website. Yeah, how about that? Total Restoration, Church of the Nazarene. You can go there. You can Google us, and you'll find us right there. If all else fails, go to Google. Let Google lead you, and you will find us, Total Restoration, okay? But that office number, you can call anytime. Of course, if you don't get us there, leave a message, 815-573-5517. And then you can text, all right? For those of you that find it easier because you're so busy, you move around a lot, or you just kind of like, you know, connecting that way. You can text our information number where you reach out to us, and that number is 888-201-0209. Again, that number is 888-201-0209. That's where you will text us and also get information about our services. If you're in the Illinois area, Chicagoland area, we'd love to have you join us. Pastor Carr right now is in Illinois, and he is leading there with, I tell you, with a powerful word on our Sunday morning worship. So why don't you stop by and listen and join in and get some mighty powerful word, and a breakthrough is guaranteed. It's guaranteed. Yes, we stand on that guarantee. All right, and so we're thankful again for the time of consecration that we're preparing for, and we are also praying for our mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, one of those that has been with us when we were only a conference call and we would meet in the mornings before we graduated to becoming a web radio broadcast. We've had faithful men and women of God that we've stood on the shoulders of and been prayed through many situations, our own personal testimonies. I know for me, my own personal testimony, there's many of you that are on here right now that you've prayed me through, you've prayed Pastor Carr through, you've prayed our church, you've supported. And we have one who we are praying for earnestly, and that is my dear cousin. She is my mother's cousin, and so she is my blood relative, Cousin Mildred Norman. We're praying for her healing. If she's listening right now, Cousin Mildred, I want you to know we all love you so much, and we're praying with you for your complete healing. She has so much wisdom, and we're thankful to God for allowing her to be a part of To Be Restored. She's so faithful. She's kept journals down through the years of every message that I have shared with the call, from the calls every morning to now Blog Talk Radio. And so I'm so thankful for her. We don't take her for granted. We're praying her strength. So please, I ask and solicit you to pray with us as well for Cousin Mildred. She is home. She has been in the hospital, but she is now home. And Cousin Lorna, another faithful partner of To Be Restored and supporter of Total Restoration, who is her niece, is caring for her. She as well as others, Bonnie, Sister Bonnie Pete, who's also they're warriors. You know she's in good hands. She's in good hands. So we're trusting God, as well as for many of you that we have heard over the time that we've not been meeting necessarily here at To Be Restored, but we've heard about reports of different things that you're requesting from God to move in. And we're standing. We believe in the power of prayer. We know God is healing miraculously. We're praying and standing in agreement. And if you have prayer requests, you can still send them. Pray at toberestored.org. Yeah, we have some prayer requests that we are actively praying for. We're praying and standing in agreement with those of you that need a job, need employment, you're starting a new business, you need home, transportation, all of those things. We're believing God to supply and provide. And not just do it in a way where you're thinking about. No, we're looking for him to exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or even think. You can't even conjure it up in your mind what God is about to do for you. We're praying that the blessings will overtake you and that they will catch up with you. You got to slow down. They're trying to catch up with you. And we're believing God to supply for you. So we pray for your businesses and all of those things that you have in your hands that you've been given to be steward over, that God will bless it and multiply for your benefit and for the blessing of those that are to come behind you in Jesus' name. So with all of that, we thank God for all that he's doing. And today, our title, listen to this, our title for this lesson, if you want to call it that, or devotion is what we typically call it, is relentless stand. Relentless stand. Yeah, we are in a day where it's evident that everybody and anybody is standing for something, right? Everybody and anybody, they've got to stand. They're speaking out. They're speaking up. They have something to say about something, some cause or some purpose or some work or something that they believe in, and they are just with no drawback, with no fear. When they think it's right, when they think it's the right thing to stand on, and there are some great causes out there to stand on. Don't get me wrong. There are some great things that people, some great works, think about it. If the civil rights movement didn't start, or shall I say, if someone didn't stand for civil rights and say enough is enough, many of us would not even be here today. Some of us would not be enjoying some of the luxuries and some of the benefits of what others stood for. So I'm thanking God for those that have had a stand in the history, and it's been recorded of names and people that have stood for those things that were right causes. But just like we have people that will stand for right causes, we know that we have people that will stand for wrong causes. And they'll stand as if it's right. They'll stand because it's right to them. And they defend it. They defend. That's what the stand is. It's a defense. It's a protection and a defense of a cause or something that somebody believes in. And so I'm so thankful that this that we're studying today, I opened up with Proverbs chapter 14. I tell you, that chapter of Proverbs is a good one. You should take some time between now and tomorrow and just read that entire chapter. But verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, what I'm going to do for you in this study, in this devotion, I'm going to pack you with some several scriptures that are going to tie to what I'm calling the seven signs of a relentless stand for Christ. Seven signs that we are standing for Christ. Because just like I said, we know that the cause that we stand for in righteousness has to be Christ-centered. It must be Christ-centered. And that is, the stand that we take as believers is supposed to be evident just like it's evident in society when people are relentless about standing up and defending what they believe is right. That's how we as Christians, as born-again believers, blood-bought believers, should be standing every day. We should be relentless about the stand that we take and the position that we hold in the world, for the world, for the world to see. We are ambassadors for Christ. Did you know that? That you have been chosen, you have been handpicked to be an ambassador. Do you know what that means? Think about it. Think about it on the natural sense. If you were chosen to go to another country, to go to another place outside of what is normal to you, to represent this country, to represent the United States, that's an honor, because this United States is respected in other areas. And so when you show up as an ambassador, they'll lay out the red carpet. They'll say, oh, this is Ambassador, I won't name any names, but you put your name there. Ambassador, you know, fill in the blank. And you're given royal treatment. Because what happens is when you're chosen as a representative, you are the one that everybody's got their eyes on. Their ears are open to hear what you have to say. And so as we're called to be ambassadors for Christ, we have a commission. We have a duty and responsibility, especially in days like we're living right now, where it seems that the word of God has become null. The word of God has become of no effect. When you say God's name, even in some settings, you're almost ridiculed. You can't even say Jesus. As he is the Savior, the Messiah. You can't even proclaim him. Some jobs, you can't say it. You can't put it in an email. You can't mention the name of Jesus, let alone the standards and the principles of the Word of God. But for all of us that believe that that is what is right and that's the only thing that's right, you know, somebody says holiness is right and somebody's wrong. Well, I tell you, if it's not lining up with the word of God and what we're standing and believing and hoping and striving for, then it's wrong, because it has to all go back to being Christ-centered. So these seven signs that I'm going to share with you are not only going to be a statement, but I'm going to give you a scripture. I'm going to read the verses of scripture for you, and I pray that you will make note of it, because this is kind of how we are to evaluate our stand. In these seven signs, we have to have all seven in order to have a relentless stand. Okay, you might recognize you have one or two, and then you might say, when you hear one or two, you say, oh, well, I got to work on that. And that's what we're here for today, is to recognize it so we can get up and do what God has called us to do. So the first sign is a serious dedication to studying God's word. Serious dedication to studying God's word. 2 Timothy, you may recognize this, verse 2 and 15. And most all of these verses actually are in the English Standard Version, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Rightly handling the word of truth. So the dedication to studying God's word, you know, not just reading scripture. I talked about this with the young people in the house with me the last couple of weeks. I've been encouraging them as young people to study the word of God. And we as Christians, no matter our age, no matter how long we've been walking with the Lord, there is no way that we can humanly contain all of the word and all that it has at one time. The word is something, and by that I mean the word is something that we can go back to. You can go into a scripture. You can, when you really study, when you really, really study it, you can go into it 10 different times and find 10 different revelations, not 10 different meanings, but 10 different revelations of that one verse, of that one passage. And so the continued serious dedication, and by that I mean the dedication has to be that I'm going to continue to do this. I'm dedicated to the Word of God. I'm dedicated to studying the Word of God, because that is our map. When you talk about having a relentless stand, you got to stand on the Word. And how can we stand on the Word when we don't know the Word? We have to know the Word. We have to study the Word. And so studying the Word, again, that reference scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. So that's number one, serious dedication to studying God's Word. Number two, free from the spirit of rejection and the spirit of fear of rejection. Those two spirits, being free, that's the sign of a relentless stand, is when we're free from the spirit of rejection and fear of rejection. Free from the spirit of rejection. Now, please understand, when we say spirit of rejection, okay, we understand that we're going to be rejected. We're going to be rejected by the world. And I'll read that in a minute in John chapter 15. But when you're free from the spirit of rejection, see, the spirit of rejection is what talks to us and tells us nobody wants you. Nobody loves you. Nobody needs you. That spirit can be relentless many times. So getting free from the spirit of rejection and the fear of rejection, fearing that if I say this, if I do this for God, nobody's going to hear me, so I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to wait. Listen, there has to be a consistent living with holy boldness without fear and shame. When you have a relentless stand, there's a holy boldness that comes. When the spirit of rejection is abolished in your life, God gives you a holy boldness, and of course with wisdom. Now, there are places and there's a proper timing and a proper way to be heard with the holy boldness, right? There's a proper way to be heard with the holy boldness, because one thing we don't want to do is batter people. We don't want to bash people. We don't do that because we have the love of God. So the holy boldness works through love. But in having a relentless stand, we're free from when people don't receive what we say. We let it roll off like water off a duck's back, as they say. We let it roll off. We don't try to bend to make them accept it. We don't try to change what God has said to make it easy to receive. Because let's be true, some things are just flat out hard for all of us to hear, and some things are hard for us to say. But when we're free from the spirit of rejection, oh, I know this is good. When we're free that no matter what I have to do, I'm going to be bold with Christ standing within me and the love of God working through me without fear and shame. John chapter 15, verse 19, as it reads, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. You understand that you're not going to be liked by those coworkers. You're not going to be liked by certain family members. Some people, you know, we scratch our head trying to figure out, why don't they like me? I've been there, I know. You know, every now and then I'm like, well, even some that we fellowship with. Yeah, some that go to our church. And I'm saying our as in you and I, okay? Some that we go to church with, some that we've done activities, we've been close, even nothing compares to when you've walked with someone, you know, maybe you had a best friend, you grew up with that best friend, and back in the day, you all used to hang together and, you know, you got in trouble together sometimes, and, you know, before Christ, the BC era of your life. And then when Christ comes, glory to God, and the friend is still holding you in that place of BC, and here you are now, redeemed. But that stand, you're free from even being rejected by that friend or by those that are of the world that say, you know what, I can't hang with her no more. And they stop calling. They stop calling, you know, even for family situations, family things. You the last one to know. Why nobody told me? Well, you know, they didn't want to hear. No, listen, if they don't call me because they don't want to hear what the word of God says, hey, let it be so. Glory to God. All right? So number two is free from the spirit of rejection and fear of rejection, the consistent living with holy boldness without fear or shame. Number three, here we go. Now, when I looked up this one, oh, my goodness, this one, I couldn't decide what scripture to use. Woo! This one right here, number three, no tolerance for sin. Let me say that again. I'm going to say it real slow. No tolerance for sin. No tolerance for sin. An uncompromising attitude, uncompromised life, uncompromising with sin, no matter who it may come against. No matter who doesn't like it, no matter even back to what I was saying, if you're hated by the world, you are loved by God. Hallelujah. Uncompromising with sin. And listen, that includes your own sin as well as others. You don't want to tolerate sin in your own life first. See, we're still talking about a relentless stand for Christ. It's nothing worse than pointing the finger at everybody else and forgetting that you got three others pointing back at you. You forget that there are fingers that are being pointed at how you live, because let it be known, people watch what you do more than hear what you say. And so we can say what we're against. When it comes to sin, we can say it with lip service, but then our actions, where people have watched us still go to certain events that support certain stands that we say we're against. We go to be mingling and interchanging with certain things, and this is a personal place first before we can even deal with others. The personal place of a stand is more important than even telling someone else about their sin. Because let it be clear, you know, this is not a scripture at all, but I'm going to say it because my mama used to say it. Every tub got to sit on its own bottom. At the end of the day, I'm going to have to give an account for every word, every deed, every action that I've taken, that I've made. And so I want to first make sure I get the sin out of my life. And when we know we're struggling, when we know we've had issues, when we know we've had problems in certain areas, I don't want to tolerate anyone else who's compromised in that area. I don't want to, in other words, I don't want to hang around the old crowd that used to encourage me to do the things that I know is a sin against my God. When I have a relentless stand, sometimes we don't understand why some people are adamant about certain things. And we look at them and say, oh, they're judging, and they're acting like they're more holier than thou. Well, you don't know what that person has been through. So be careful how you determine what someone else's stand, their relentless stand in a certain area, could be because they almost lost their life playing with that sin. They almost lost their place with God going in and out of sin. If you've been in a place ever before where you had to hang on to your very life for your soul's sake, and God brings you out, and you say, God, I don't ever want to do that again. I don't ever want to be found in that place again. So when you see it around you, when you smell it, you know, it's nothing like knowing when you've been through something, you can detect it. Your radar goes off. Your radar, it says, wait a minute. I see something here. And before I go any further, sister or brother, I need to let you know. I need to let you know where I stand with God. I need to let you know that I am not down with the get down. All right? This is where I stand. This is who saved me. And God brought me out. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. See, this thing is not about what I say, nor is it about what you say. But when you have a relentless stand, it's about what God says. It's about what the men and women of God that established this work, the apostles, laid out the foundation for holy living and righteous living. When Jesus Christ went to heaven after he rose from the dead, he commissioned those apostles, those disciples got elevated. They got bumped up, and Jesus gave them a commandment. As he spoke to Peter, he said, feed my sheep. Hallelujah. And where the word has been written, we are not to tolerate where the word will be compromised and call good evil and call evil good. Putting out the light by making darkness be more important. Hallelujah. So I thank God for that no tolerance for sin. Hallelujah. Number four, we're almost done, all right? Number four, no drawback from what the Lord tells you to do. Now, I know that sounds simple. No drawback from what the Lord tells you to do. That sounds simple, right? Because, of course, you know, if you're here, if you get up this early in the morning and looking for people to pray, you're listening. You're wanting to hear what the Lord says. You have something that's drawing you. Either that or you just, you know, just like hearing people talk. But I believe that your heart is drawing you to hear what God says, not just overall, but to you specifically. But what we fail many times to understand about our own selves is that the inconsistency and the non-persistence in completing, hear me out, completing assignments that are given to us by the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because one thing that happens it happens more often to others than we believe, because we think that it only happens to us, is that when we get on a road to obey God, don't you know there are roadblocks? There's opposition. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be people that say, why are you doing that? There's going to be things that happen that make you question, God, did you really tell me to do that? But see, when you have a relentless stand, you understand that drawback. When I draw back, if God told me to do it, if God spoke it to me, I have to do it exactly like he says, regardless. I have to be relentless in standing for God in this place that he's called me to. Yeah. persistence in completing assignments given by the Holy Spirit despite opposition, here we go, with focus on timing. With focus on timing. Because we do understand that when God gives us an assignment or when God speaks to us and tells us this is what's about to happen, this is where I'm leading you, whether it come through studying his word and we see the formation happening in our life. I hope I'm not losing you. I hope you're following what I'm saying. The formation that's forming, that thing that's forming in you, and you're hearing God more, you're seeing God's hand move more in your life, but then you understand that God's time is not like your time. God's timing is not like our time. So the focus on timing and standing regardless of the opposition. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. Okay, Hebrews 10, 37 and 38 says, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Glory to God. I want God to be pleased with my life. That's why I stand relentlessly, regardless of the rain, regardless of the storm. Glory to God. When the storm happens, I grab hold to Jesus Christ. I keep my focus on Jesus so I can stay above the water. Hallelujah. Number five, living with the understanding that God is always watching. Yeah, living with the understanding that God is always watching. That means I'm intentional in pleasing the Lord with life decisions. I'm intentional about making sure that I don't err, I don't get off track. And when I do get off track, it goes back even to what I was saying about the no tolerance. When I get off track, because let's be clear, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. God knows we're living in this flesh. When we make a mistake, don't wallow in it. Don't stay down. Because I live with the understanding that God is always watching. He's always expecting me to get back up. He's always expecting me to stand regardless of what it takes from me. Regardless of the strength that I might feel like I don't have, I stand in his strength. Glory to God. I'm intentional of pleasing him with every decision. I pray about what I do. When I have a relentless stand, I don't want to make an error that will, and we don't have to live in fear of that. No, after you pray about it, and after you go to the word and see what the word, because let's be clear, go back to number one. The study of the word is what leads us. The study of the word is what gives us the direction. It's our map. It's our compass. Hallelujah. So I live with the understanding that God is always watching. I'm not trying to get away with anything. I'm not trying to sneak and peek. I'm not trying to do things just because I think that I can get away with it. No, but I'm intentional about pleasing the Lord. And God, if this is not pleasing to you, I don't want it. If it's not going to be lined up with your will for my life, take it away from me. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15 and 3, simple verse. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number six, we're almost there. Number six, living with the understanding that everyone is always watching. Okay, so number five was living with the understanding that God is always watching. Now number six, living with the understanding that everyone is always watching. Be careful when we say things like, I don't care what people think about me. In the sense, now mind you, we talked about being free from the spirit of rejection, right? So be careful when we make statements. As a matter of fact, a relentless stand understands that everybody is watching my life. And so, therefore, my stand has to be lined up with how I win souls. Because let's not be fooled. The most important thing in becoming a Christian was so that others will be saved through your life, through your Christ example, winning souls for Christ by your daily lifestyle. How I live at work is lined up with how I live at home, is lined up with how I live in front of the saints, is lined up with how I live in front of my family. All of that is the same. You're the same everywhere you go, because you understand, if somebody has to speak about me from my job, I don't want that story conflicting with what my family knows about me, because my relentless stand is consistent in how I recognize that everyone is always watching, and my life is supposed to draw them. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3 says, "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." 2 Corinthians chapter 3, remember, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Yes, we are written epistles, read of men. When people see us, they should see the life that Jesus lived. The relentless stand is that when they look at me, they question, "Why are you so happy? What is it? You know, what is it that makes you pray despite and believe God despite what happens to you?" That relentless stand. Glory to God. And then finally, it is not least of the others. It just happens to be number seven. Number seven is adopted maturity in Christ-like identity. Adopted maturity in Christ-like identity. Adopted maturity in Christ-like identity. My identity is hid in Christ. It's not about me being me, but it's about me being who Christ calls me to be. I am mature because I've adopted the Christ-like thinking, the Christ-like living. I'm willing, and here's how we know in a relentless stand if we have the Christ-like identity, because we're willing to go through ridicule, shame, embarrassment, persecution, and even separation from close friends and family. The relentless stand is going to sometimes separate you from mama. Yeah, I know you love your mother. I know you love, you know, your father. I know you said that, you know, and even you were raised with the idea that I'm mama's best, or I'm who mama depends on. But if mama or sister or brother or even child go against the word that you are relentlessly standing for, the adopted maturity in being Christ-like says, "I'm willing to be ridiculed. I'm willing to be talked about because they don't understand my stand. I'm willing to go through the embarrassment that we're separated because of Christ's sake. I'm willing to go through the persecution that comes with the relentless stand as I'm matured in Christ, because of the identity that I recognize that I have." Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 and 3. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I don't have to be raised. I don't have to be praised or raised up. As a matter of fact, the Christ-like identity says, I remember, you know, and this passage just came to mind, or this incident in the scripture, when Jesus healed, and even several times we've read it in different passages and different scriptures, where when Jesus first came and began healing and working miracles and blessing others, and people got saved by and got healed and began to learn of his identity, began to learn who he was, he told them, don't tell anyone. He didn't want his name to go out there yet, because he knew it was about a timing, and he knew that he had a work to do. Hallelujah. See, some of us want a podium. Some of us want to stand up and preach for the wrong reasons. Some of us want to be able to be seen because we see it as glamorous. But I tell you, if you're walking Christ-like, it's not glamorous. No, the relentless stand is a gory, it's a bloody walk. It's a bloody walk. It's a place that where you're going to be rejected because you say right is right according to the word of God and wrong is wrong. It's a place where your heart is going to have to cry out sometimes because it's broken. Because your own family or child or sister or even your spouse many times doesn't understand the stand that you have for Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Because this relentless stand is what it's going to take for souls to be saved in this day and hour. We're trying to figure out what needs to happen. We're worried about politics, and we're worried about world hunger. We're worried about all of these things, homelessness. There are some people that sit up at night trying to figure out, oh, I don't know what to do. There's so many people that are in this place and in this situation. But listen, let me help you understand. As one who takes the relentless stand, you understand that God is over all flesh. And God raises up one. And brings down another. And God knows how to even bring answers. When we stand in our place and not think that we're God, we can't solve all the problems, but we know who can. Hallelujah. We can't correct every situation, but we know the one who is the common denominator for what is righteous. So we stand on that. Father God, we thank you today. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. We come to you, God, thanking and praising you for this day that you've allowed us to see. We thank you, O God, for being who you are, standing in your word today, God. We come to you, and we ask right now that you will forgive us. God, we recognize that as you're calling us to have a stand for righteousness, some of these areas, Lord God, that are signs of us having a relentless stand for you, we fall short. And for this, we repent. For this, we say, God, that we ask that you let the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood that was shed for the remission, for the forgiveness, that you let the blood cover those areas of fault, those areas of lacking. Those areas, God, where we are wanting more, where we are needing more, we ask that you would help us to stand like never before. We know, God, that you are calling and calling out. Some of us have come out of some dark places. Some of us, God, all of us have come out of places where we didn't even think we would come out of. But you saw fit to save. You saw fit to deliver. And so, God, we put ourselves even now back on your potter's wheel. And we say anything that's in us, God, hallelujah, woo, glory to God. Anything that's in us, God, even the spirit of rejection, the fear of rejection, of what people will say, and, God, that inability to study your word, the inability to get focused and be dedicated to studying your word, the distractions and all of those things, God, that are embedded within us that keep pulling us and distracting and keeping us bound in places where sin is tolerable to us. Oh, God, we ask that you would remove, purge, wash, cleanse by your blood in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your power, let your power begin to be revealed to us, God, and set us on fire for your name's sake. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost begin to burn up everything not like you, everything that would be a reproach. God, you said righteousness exalts a nation. Where our nation has fallen short, where our nation has forsaken and turned its back on you, God, have mercy in the name of Jesus. Have mercy, oh God. Oh God, let your blood, oh God, the redeeming blood, the powerful blood, let it wash and cleanse the streets of this country, the cities and the states, oh God, that are standing, God, for babies being murdered and children, God, going missing, and oh God, all of the wicked and perverse generation that's in leadership. Oh God, we know that you are still in control. We know that your power, oh God, is calling us, and you're calling us, God, to stand in that power. You desire to reveal your power to those who are underneath the oppression of the enemy. So, God, we thank you now that you give us a relentless stand, that it's no longer about us. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about them. But, God, it's all about you. It's about what you say. We want to stand for holiness. We want to stand for righteousness. We want to stand, oh, God, with an uncompromising way, oh, God, with uncompromising lips, oh God, an uncompromising action. God, we don't want to draw back from you. We don't want to draw back into the things of perdition. We don't want to go backward, God, but we want to press forward. God, put a press down on the inside of our soul. Let us press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. We thank you, oh God, that you set us in a sure place, in a solid foundation. God, where we've been off, where we've wavered, where, God, where we have even looked at others and caused others, God, to waver by the things that we have said and directed incorrectly. Oh, God, even sometimes families that have been separated because of words and actions that we may have done. People, God, that were turned away from you because of things and words and actions that we may have done or said. Oh, God, let your blood begin to draw and reset. Oh, God, a boundary around our lips. Oh God, don't let us speak any guile. Don't let us stand for evil. Oh God, but let us be the light in the dark places. Let us stand, oh God, in a place where your holiness can be revealed and come from our spirit and come from our lifestyle in the name of Jesus. We know that your eyes are in every place, beholding the good. So God, as well as you behold the evil, God, in those places where we've tried to hide, oh God, God, we repent today in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for placing a holy stand in the back of your people. Let a bolt of steel be placed in our back, oh God, that we will not buckle, that we will not bend. God, help us to stand even in times of weakness, in times where it looks like everybody else is going in the opposite direction. We want to stand and be consistent with where you call us to stand in the name of Jesus. God, we want to be able to draw souls to your kingdom. Oh God, teach us how to win souls. You said he that winneth souls is wise. We thank you for wisdom today. We thank you, God, even as the holy boldness will work through wisdom, that God, you will be received by those who are searching, by those who are wanting. God, whether they be in the hospital room, whether they be on our job, whether they be in our family, oh God, you see the heart. You know the hearts of your people. You know those, God, that may appear to be one way, oh God, but down on the inside, they're searching. They look like they're hard, but they're searching. So God, we thank you. As you make our identity be the identity of Christ, that we're willing, God, to be despised. We're willing, God, to be acquainted with grief, for we know long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. So we thank you, God, that you teach us, God, how to suffer for righteousness' sake. And we thank you that you have a time, you have an ordained time to raise us up according to your will and your righteousness. And we thank you, God, that you are standing on the inside of us and that your light is drawing men, women, boys, and girls to salvation and deliverance. For your name's sake, it is so in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, God, for letting this word be written on our hearts, that it come alive. Oh, God, not dead letter, but living word inside in Jesus' name. And for this we give you glory. For this we give you praise. And it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. We bless you today. We want you to contact us if you need information about what we're doing with the consecration coming, the Just Pray. Our next time that we will gather for this to be restored will be Friday, September 27th. The day before our Just Pray, Saturday, September 28th. So we pray that you will continue to follow us with the Command Your Day. If you need any information about what we're doing, you can call our office, 815-573-5517. Don't forget, this is recorded. You can share it with someone. Go to blogtalkradio.com/be-restored. Or just visit our website, Total Restoration Church of the Nazarene, TotalRestorationChurch.com. God bless you. We love you. Have an awesome day. We'll see you next time.
I need you to get on your feet. It's about to go down. Come on, get on your feet.